from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week, we're going to be talking about the Talent Gathering 2019. Nigel's been on the road and he's been talking at a conference in Murrayfield, the home of Scotland's rugby team in Edinburgh. So, Nigel, for those of us who weren't there, what did you find interesting about the Talent Gathering?
Well, this was the second one, Martin. So they did the first Talent Gathering last year. And it's run by Kenny Henderson and Dave Burglass. And basically, those two people are pretty awesome learning leaders in their own right. Kenny, I knew Kenny when he was at Sky. I knew Dave when he was at Tesco Bank. They've both since moved on. So they're two pretty awesome leaders. And what is different about something like the Talent Gathering is that it's a gathering mostly of people who know each other or are connected in some way. And both Dave and Kenny were connected and knew the vast majority of people in the room. And they certainly knew personally all the speakers. So it's a kind of collection of friends which changes the atmosphere. It's not people coming in and saying, you know, what am I getting out of this? It's a group of people saying, hello, good to see you again. Great to be here. So first and foremost, just the group get a lot out of being with each other. And there's a buzz in the room before you even anyone speaking. And then they had some, the focus was on culture. And they had some excellent speakers. You know, and one of them, Damien Hughes, I'd never come across. Damien is at the University of Manchester and he's an organizational psychologist. And he was talking about, he was off the next day, i.e. today. He's gone to Japan to work with the Scottish rugby team in the last two critical group stage games, which will see whether they come home afterwards or they stay on and get into the group stages. So he's got a very important role. And he was talking about the way that culture works in organizations. And he used Barcelona Football Club as an illustration of a club that built a strong, strong culture. He thinks it's kind of crumbling a bit now, but built a strong, strong culture and resolutely drove that through. And he relates that directly to their success over the last 10 years or so. And he reminded everyone that, you know, Barcelona in the early 2000s was a so-so team. You know, they'd never won very much. They were doing okay, but they spent a lot of money, but they didn't get the results. They were real second to Real Madrid. And he turned them, that they were turned into this really stunningly successful club, probably the world's most successful club. And as an ambassador for Catalonia and Catalan culture as well. So there was a political element. But he said, you know, there's a few things he said which I think are really interesting. He said, leaders create culture, culture drives behavior, behavior produces results. And he said, forget values. You can't watch someone doing a value. Go for behavior, because you can watch someone behaving in some way or not behaving in that way. Focus on behaviors and not too many. Barcelona only had three behaviors. The first one was humility. The second one is the team comes first. And the third one was fight. Fight for everything. You know, and their philosophy was, you're amazingly talented. You've come to the door of Barcelona. This is where your journey starts. This isn't where your journey ends. And if you don't work hard, really hard, you don't subjugate your knees to the team, we won't keep you. So it doesn't matter how talented you are. That gets you in the door. So I was talking about learning culture and organizations. So quite a lot broader in some sense, more narrowly focused in another. But I think he's right that leaders create culture, culture drives behavior, behavior produces results. But I also think that a learning culture can bubble up from below. That I think leaders are totally critical, and if ultimately they reject it or try and stifle it or give it no airtime, it's unlikely to flourish. But I have seen organizations where it is actually not the leaders who start it. The culture comes from the organization, and they get success and the leaders wake up and go, wow, this is the way to, this is the pathway to greater success. And so they embrace it second, not first. Mm-hmm. And that's a perfectly logical way. And also, leaders create culture. If that isn't embraced all the way through the organization rigorously, then it's not going to happen. And you won't get the behavior change and you won't get the results that, that you want. So I think it's slightly more complex than he's saying. But he's right, on the other hand, that, that you really have to have totally consistent behaviors through the organization. And one small change in behavior just reverberates and has a massive effect. And he did that old exercise, you know, saying about what leaders say and what they do. He said, you know, put your hands on your head, put your hands on your ears, put your hands on your cheek. And then he said, put your hands on your chin. But he touched his nose and he said, stop, stop, stop. Look around the room. Every single person had their hand on their nose. They did. They followed what he was doing. They didn't follow what he was saying. And he said, that is just a natural human reaction. So, you know, the idea that a leader can say the right thing and do the opposite, you've just proved that it's rubbish. It's never going to happen. So I thought that was a very nice little exercise. I might use that myself one day because yeah. It's absolutely true. Powerful illustration. So, you know, we started with Damien and we ended with Jessica, who's talking about design thinking. She runs a small consultancy. She's been going 3 years, 20 people. So small design consultancy, focused on design thinking. She just took us through a very simple design thinking process that she, which is pretty standard, you know, the five steps. But she showed the difference that she's made with companies, and she's doing stuff all over the world. So again, in a small Scottish company, having a way bigger impact and using a very straightforward model, focusing on using design thinking to drive new ideas and solve problems and so on. And then in between, we had speakers, you know, focusing. Laura Overton was there talking about, she was talking about learning culture as well from her perspective. And we had someone who works at Rackspace in Antonio, Texas, talking about the values of the company and the way in which leadership needs to be very clear about what it expects of staff, in order that staff can be very clear about what they have to do. And all of those things I kind of agreed with. But there was a very interesting side conversation about Rackspace. When they moved head office in San Antonio, they didn't move into a big shiny block, new tower. They bought a disused shopping mall in a pretty poor area of San Antonio, and they refurbed it. And what they did was asked the community to give the service, you know, the coffee shops, the sandwich places, you know, all the services that the company needed. They tried to buy them locally, and they started a process of community engagement with that local community, including offering free courses to give kids who have no qualifications technical skills to make them employable. And the staff, and they gave days to the staff to get out there and work with the community. And what happened, as you would be amazed to learn, productivity went up, not down. People felt meaning in what they were doing. They had a sharing culture. They wanted to share their learning and their expertise with the community outside, with each other. So he's kind of building, without even mentioning that, he's kind of building a learning culture in the organization. And I think one of the things I said was that if you want to build a learning culture, don't talk about it. Don't say, we're going to build a learning culture, because that sounds tedious. You know, what you're doing is making the place better, helping people be more productive, making their working lives more engaging. And the learning culture, you might know it's a learning culture, but the things you're doing, people are reacting positively because it's helping them. And I think if you stand there and grandstand and say, learning culture is the way forward, not everyone's going to say, oh, that's great. A lot of people say, so what? That's not going to help me. It's not going to help my job. So we had some, I thought, some really good discussions during the day. And one of the things I said, you know, because I was on towards the end, they say, oh, well, half the people have left. And someone said, no one leaves this conference. No one will leave. Everyone will be there till the end. Absolutely true. Not one person that I could see left, you know, the usual drift away. They will stay to the end. Finished at 4:30, everyone was there at 4:00. till 4:30. So it's a kind of different event and really important. There is nothing in Scotland. When I was in Scotland, I ran a learning technology conference, which was the biggest one, you know, outside BET in London. But that's gone. There's nothing. So to give people a chance to hear some really interesting insights, meet each other, and do it at a really, really good value for money event for the day. I say, well done, Kenny, and well done, Dave, for good work, really good work.
Nigel, thank you for that whistle stop to Talent Gathering 2019. And until next time.
Always a pleasure, Martin. Thank you very much. From scratch.